You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
We're talking Cardinals baseball today with Jennifer Langosh on this Thursday, March 9th. And Jen, we thank you, as always, for the time and a timely podcast as we speak here again on a Thursday, as just hours ago, a pretty cool announcement coming down from Major League Baseball that the Cardinals and Pirates are going to play a regular season game in Williamsport as part of the Little League World Series. Kind of tell us more about that. It seems like a very cool thing for both the kids and the adults.
Yeah, this is really neat. You know, it follows last year's game at Fort Bragg, the military base, which was a first for Major League Baseball. And now Major League Baseball is going to a minor league park. So the Cardinals and the Pirates, who were scheduled to play a four-game series in Pittsburgh in mid-August, are now moving the last game of that series, the August 20th game, to Williamsport. It falls right in the middle of the Little League World Series. And I think one of the cool things isn't just that the Cardinals and Pirates are going to be playing in Williamsport, but the players from both teams are going to spend the day leading up to the game, hanging out at the Little League field, going to those games, talking to those players, and interacting with a bunch of little kids who someday dream to be in the same shoes that they are. It'll be unique, of course, in that the Cardinals and Pirates will be playing in a minor league ballpark that will have a capacity of about 2,400 seats.
Wow.
So a very different feel there. And especially cool for Randall Grichuk and Lance Lynn, who both actually played in the Little League World Series as 12-year-olds. And now they're going to get to go back as major league players. So those two in particular are looking forward to this game.
I'd be remiss if I did not give a shout-out, if you will, to the defending Little League World Series champions from Enwell, New York, because it's 10 minutes from my hometown of Binghamton. Just a tremendous run those kids made last year to win the whole thing. And so if anybody's out there listening from Enwell, my hat's off to you. A lot of regional pride as they won the Little League World Series last year. And heck, maybe they repeat in 2017. I don't know. But Jen, had this been in the works for some time, or did this come together rather unexpectedly?
Yeah, it's been in the works for a little bit of time. I remember after the game in Fort Bragg last year, the commissioner came out and said he was looking forward to doing, you know, showcase games similarly in different venues and different unique setups. And so this was something I think that the ball got rolling on over the off season. Of course, there were a lot of logistics to kind of work out. It had to do, you know, with travel, getting from Pittsburgh to Williamsport. As Lance Lynn reminded us today, you know, the airport there isn't very big. So logistically had to figure out the schedule, had to make sure that the minor league ballpark there, which is currently being renovated, was going to be finished and had major league appropriate dugouts. So there was a lot of stuff there. But, you know, in talking at least on the Cardinals side here, and similar to everything I've heard from the Pirates side, is both organizations embrace this opportunity. We know that Major League Baseball has, you know, made a huge initiative toward trying to encourage kids to play the sport of baseball, to watch the sport of baseball, to fall in love with the major league players. And what a great way to be ambassadors for the game by showing up in Williamsport, which is really the epicenter of Little League Baseball for those few weeks, and having those kids get the opportunity to meet major league players. And a lot of them are going to now get the opportunity to go to a big league game.
Yeah, it's, and like you said, just the atmosphere of watching two big league clubs in a minor league ballpark with a capacity of not even 2,500 seats. That's going to be quite the sight, an odd sight, but a cool odd sight. And that'll be great for TV, great for the adults, like I said, great for the kids. And kudos to Major League Baseball to make this thing happen in conjunction with the Little League World Series. So, Jen, from that to the World Baseball Classic, I'm asking all the club reporters this week about each team's attitude towards the Classic in terms of, you know, is it something that there's buzz about within the clubhouse? Is it something that you might walk in there and you see games on the TV? Are players talking about it? Or is it kind of, you know, for guys not competing in it, is it a thing where it's out of sight, out of mind? And because they're not there in a foreign country competing, that they're focusing more on the task at hand with their big league club, and there's really not a lot of buzz right now? Where do the Cardinals fall on this scale?
Yeah, probably in the middle there. I don't hear a lot of players necessarily talking about it, but I can tell you the last couple of days when I've gone into the clubhouse early in the morning, with the time difference with the games going on over in Asia, the games have been playing in the clubhouse and they've attracted a lot of attention. So the players seem to be into the games. I know some of them found it very fascinating to watch how a different culture celebrates Major League Baseball and kind of the noise and the atmosphere around it, which is very different than what we see here. I do think, however, that there are going to be a lot of eyes tuned in to the Dominican-Canada game tonight because it's Carlos Martinez, of course, who is starting for the Dominican Republic team. So I know that a lot of his teammates here were looking forward to seeing him pitch there. But yeah, otherwise, I would say maybe lukewarm to the whole thing, but certainly when there's nothing else going on and a TV on in the clubhouse, they have been paying a little bit of attention.
Yeah, and like you said, just to see the way the fans celebrate in other countries and other cultures, it makes, you know, American fans, it makes it look like a three-hour church session. It's just, you know, it's incredible. I mean, American fans get excited for the big moments, but it seems like every pitch, especially for fans of, you know, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Venezuela, I mean, they are just going crazy. They live and breathe baseball, and it's something that, you know, if they could kind of pass over on this side of the globe for games in America, it would make it all the better. But it's so much fun to watch. I agree with you on that. And like you said, Carlos Martinez is going to be starting tonight for the Dominican Republic. That's going to attract a lot of eyeballs. Now, a guy that did pitch already and is on his way back to Cardinals camp is closer Son Juanjo, as Correa was bounced in pool play. In pool A, I believe. They're no longer competing. They were 1-2 in their three games. But, Jen, I know that, obviously you want to root for your guys to succeed and have their team do well, but I can't think anybody's too disappointed that Son Juanjo is going to be on his way back to Cardinals camp. Just in terms of how he's looked this spring, he was so dominant last year, taking over for the struggling Trevor Rosenthal. Any reason to think that, he won't be just as dominant in 2017? Is there any fear of a sophomore slump, or do the Cardinals feel like they've got one of the game's best at the back end of that bullpen?
Yeah, the Cardinals believe that Son Juanjo is the real deal. And, you know, there was some thought last year as to, you know, the more familiar other teams and other hitters got to him that maybe they would figure him out. We really never saw that happen. I mean, he was just as strong in September as he was when he was unfamiliar to everybody. So the Cardinals, you know, of course, have built the back end of their bullpen full of a number of veterans who could step in as closers. But the Cardinals have a lot of faith that Son Juanjo, it was not a fluke what he did last year. And perhaps he's at $2.5 million, one of the best bargains around baseball this year as their closer. I think it was encouraging to see in the World Baseball Classic 3 1/3 scoreless innings, 6 strikeouts there. So he got off to a quick start in spring, and big expectations for him. And, you know, for O in particular, this is a walk year for him. So if he can have a big season here at age 32, he could set himself up for a really nice payday come free agency.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing better than being good is being good and cheap. And the Cardinals have checked off both boxes where Son Juanjo is concerned, especially when you see the crazy money that guys like Chapman and Melanson got this offseason. Not that it wasn't warranted, but when you get a guy as good as those guys in Son Juanjo for significantly less money, then all the better for the Cardinals, certainly, in their financial situation. Jen, to transition a little bit from him to some offense, some infielders in particular, Aledmys Diaz, you wrote how he's putting in some extra work on defense during the spring. And Colton Wong, a guy that has been lost a little bit in the shuffle. We saw him last year, you know, bounce from the infield to the outfield experiment, which went pretty well, and then back to the infield for a little bit. So he got demoted, got, you know, sent back up to the majors. So give me your takes on both those guys in terms of, again, Diaz with his defense and kind of where Colton Wong is right now and how he fits in with this team.
Yeah, I mean, Diaz and Wong, I think, are very two important pieces, you know, for the Cardinals in terms of what they want to accomplish this year. I mean, we heard the Cardinals talk so often over the winter about how they wanted to become a more athletic team, a better defensive team. Colton Wong is a huge part of that. I mean, when you look across the infield, he is an above average defender. He is the best infield defensive player that they have. The key for him, of course, is going to be able to separate the offensive side from the defensive side. What we've seen from him at times in his career is when he's struggling at the plate, he can sometimes take those struggles out into the field, and we see a little bit of looseness there. We'll see how he comes along as an offensive player. The good thing for him is that with so many other big bats in this lineup, I would guess that Colton Wong will probably slot into that eighth spot in the lineup, so there shouldn't be a great amount of pressure there for him to perform. And again, the Cardinals look at his value mostly coming in the field. You look at Aledmys Diaz, on the other hand, this is a guy who's going to be in the middle of things offensively. I would guess that he'll start the season as the two-hole hitter between Dexter Fowler and Matt Carpenter, which has to be a great place to be given the amount of pitches that both of those hitters around him are going to see. Diaz had a terrific rookie season at the plate, expects to continue that. And for him, the biggest developments are what he can do in the field. He got better as the season went on last year after a pretty rough start. He's been working out at spring training very much with Jose Oquendo, the longtime infield instructor who's now working mostly with minor league players. But he showed up early to work with Diaz. They've worked a lot on footwork. They've worked a lot on positioning, on how Diaz needs to move into the ball instead of letting the ball come to him. So all of these things the Cardinals believe can help Diaz at least be an average defender at short. And they still believe that his ceiling could be a little bit higher. So big expectations, certainly coming into his second year.
Yeah, no question there. And Jen, just to wrap up about Colton Wong in particular, is there a feeling that kind of the worst is behind him with everything that happened with him last year and all the uncertainty and the shuffling between the infield and the outfield, and that he is at least starting to get back to being that, you know, that confidence guy that he was when he first came up? And he really kind of set the world on fire. He was what Aledmys Diaz is right now in terms of a guy that really generated buzz.
Yeah, and the biggest thing that's held Colton back is consistency. I mean, we've seen some great spurts from him, whether it's been in the field or at the plate, but being able to do that over a full 6 months is something that Colton hasn't been able to do the last three seasons. So I think for him, it was a big deal this winter to hear the Cardinals commit so heavily to him. We saw last year where things, when he wasn't hitting very much, he'd go in and out of the lineup, get those inconsistent starts. The Cardinals are very adamant that Colton Wong is going to be their everyday second baseman. So I think that vote of confidence means a lot to him. And quite frankly, he's probably at the year in his career where he has to prove that he can be a really good player over 6 months. I mean, he has the contract. He's been in this league now since 2013. So the Cardinals are just hopeful that he can put it all together, maybe take a little bit of pressure off himself, because that's always something that has held him back. And if he can just play free and let his skill set go, again, he hits exactly the boxes that the Cardinals wanted to improve upon, which is athleticism, good base running, and good defense. He can be all of those things if he can just let himself go.
Yeah, and like you said, batting eighth could do wonders for that confidence in terms of not putting too much pressure on himself. He can just get out there and be free. He's not a table setter. He's not in the middle of that order. He's batting eighth. And I think that for at least right now, that is the perfect spot for Colton Wong. Jen, to wrap up here, we got to talk about who I am now christening the amazing Adam Wainwright, because he is just continuing to enrich the lives of teammates off the field with that great story last week about getting the rental car for one of the Cardinals minor leaguers. And you may recall last week for the fans listening that he had that kind of aha moment by rediscovering his curveball thanks to the videos on MLB.com. And now we're reading, courtesy of you, of course, that he is also starting to reincorporate his changeup into his repertoire. Had this been a big pitch for him, during his prime and in his previous successful years, or is it something now that he's looking to incorporate more to kind of give him a little more deception, maybe if he's lost a few ticks off the fastball?
Yeah, the thing I love about Adam Wainwright is he's always working on something. And for a guy who's been a top three finisher in the Cy Young vote four different times in his career, it's amazing to hear this guy speak about how he's tinkering with pitches or taking new places on the rubber or changing his delivery. He's always kind of looking for that edge, as he said, to become greater. The changeup is really a pitch that he hasn't used all that often since he was a reliever back in 06 and 07. Since then, it accounted for, usually between 4 and 7% of his season pitches, with a really low percentage last year. He believes that this pitch can maybe take the place of a cutter if he doesn't want to throw that as much. And again, it's just Adam Wainwright trying to always stay one step ahead of the batter. He believes if he can throw another pitch in there, give hitters something else to have to worry about, it's just going to make the rest of his repertoire better. So, I mean, we all know that Adam Wainwright isn't going to take the mound and throw heat by anybody. So this is, I think, just him, at the waning part of his career, trying to be a little crafty, trying to develop something new to be able to extend his dominance a little bit longer. So, yeah, we've seen the curveball. Now we've seen the changeup. And I'm sure after Adam makes his next spring start, he's going to have another revelation to share with us.
Yeah, maybe a gyro ball, a knuckleball. You never know with him. Like you said, you put it perfectly, that for a guy as accomplished as he is and the stature that he carries, to continually be working on something, always wanting to get better, that sets an extremely great example for everybody else on that team. He really is the consummate teammate. And, Jen, we are now under a half hour away from Carlos Martinez taking the mound against Canada in the opener for the defending champion Dominican Republic in the 2017 World Baseball Classic. So with that, we'll let you go. Hopefully the tsunami does his thing against Canada, and something to discuss next week, I'm sure. Jen Langosch, thank you for the time. We'll do it again at this time next week. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, St. Louis Cardinals.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.